What is the gospel? Would you know the gospel if you heard it? Now, we know that not everything that goes under the name of the gospel is the gospel. Why, I've even heard a man trying to sell a used car after telling you how wonderful that car is declare, "Now, that's the gospel." Well, you know that's not the gospel.
I want to read from the book of Hebrews, chapter 5, verses 11 and 12, "Of whom we have many things to say, and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. For when, for the time, ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God."
For the past several weeks, we have been talking about some things that are hard to be uttered. Now, we know that we've been well listened to because we have been getting some good response. But we have not been challenged on any of the things that we've talked about. No one has called us or written to us claiming that we are corrupting the Word of God. Let's look at some of the things that we've talked about that are hard to be uttered. Another one of our programs was on justification by faith.
In that program, we talked about our name, Reformed Baptist. And in that, we did not talk about a man turning over a new leaf and reforming himself. But we talked about the doctrine of the Reformation. And that was the doctrine of justification by faith. That is, that salvation is by the mercies of God in Jesus Christ, and that we experience that justification in Christ by faith and by faith alone.
And then we talked about another part of our name, and we talked about repentance. Now, how did that tie in?
In talking about repentance, we talked about the baptism of repentance as was preached by John and practiced by John, and which is and must be the distinguishing characteristic of the Baptist message. That is that we are sinners before God and that we must fall before God in repentance, and that baptism properly symbolizes this repentance before God.
And then we talked about man's basic nature, and we answered the question from Scripture, is a man basically good?
We found in Scripture, the heart is deceitful above all things, and desperately wicked. Who can know it?
And then we looked at the election of grace.
In that program, we were concerned with the personal, individual election of God by His grace according to His own good pleasure.
And next we answered the question, for whom did Christ die?
In that we showed that Jesus did what the angel said that He would do, that He saved a people from their sins, that He did not just make it possible for men to be saved.
One of the other programs we dealt with the subject of a man's free will and looked at the question, was this the determining factor in a man's salvation?
The Word of God answers this. We read in John chapter 1, verses 11 through 13. He came to His own, and His own received Him not. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God.
Another time we looked at two different views of salvation. One saying, once saved, always saved, and the other view that it would be possible for a Christian to lose his salvation.
We determined in that that's not really the question. The question is assurance. Whether or not I can believe what Jesus promised. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand.
Now, as the text said that we began with, we have many things to say. They're hard to be uttered, seeing you're dull of hearing.
Jim, we don't want a one-sided debate here. But our purpose is the glory and the honor of Jesus Christ. But in our audience of religious people who believe the Scriptures, we are convinced that we have many people who fit the description of this next verse. For when, for the time, ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God. So then we must get down to the question of what are the first principles of the oracles of God, or what is the gospel?
Now 1 Peter 4:11 tells us, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen.
And he that honoreth not the Son, honoreth not the Father which hath sent him.
Then let's get at this question of what is the gospel. If it doesn't honor the Son, it's not the gospel. And Paul said that, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation.
People are confused about what is the gospel because they are being told so many things that do not honor the Son and are not the gospel.
In my own experience, I saw an ad in the newspaper not long ago, and it said that there was going to be a gospel meeting, that the preacher was going to preach the gospel. Now, I went to that meeting, and what I heard was the preacher telling me what I had to do, that I had to join that church, or a church like that I had to be baptized, that there were certain things that I had to do. Now, my friends, that's not the gospel. The gospel is not what I must do for the Lord, but what He's already done for me.
The word gospel in our language means good news. And any preaching that tells me that my salvation is dependent upon anything that I do, that preaching is not the gospel, because it is not good news to me. Because I know that I cannot do it. I cannot be the kind of church member that I should be. I cannot be obedient to the law of God. The law of God condemns me. The only message, then, that is good news to me is that there is salvation in Jesus Christ, and that the just shall live by faith.
Paul was a man that knew the gospel. And Paul preached the gospel. And if you study the writings of Paul, you'll find that he had a one-track mind. Let's look at a few of the writings of Paul from 1 Corinthians. In the first chapter, at verse 17, he says, For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. Not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. So Paul came to preach the gospel, not try to explain it to you, but just proclaim it. He declared that the preaching of the cross is foolishness to those that are perishing, but to those that are saved, it is the power of God. And then Paul says in chapter 2, For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Paul knew the person of Jesus Christ, and his message was Christ crucified. And he declares in the 14th verse of that same chapter, The natural man cannot understand these things, that they have to be spiritually discerned. And then Paul says in chapter 9, verse 16, For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of. For necessity is laid upon me, yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. Now Paul wasn't claiming any righteousness, any merit in the fact that he was a preacher.
He wasn't claiming either that he had the power by his preaching to bring men from spiritual death to spiritual life, but he said that, woe is me if I preach not the gospel. And he was dependent upon the power of the Spirit of God to bring men from death to life. And he knew that these men must hear the gospel of Christ.
And then Paul tells us what the gospel is. He gives us his definition. Because in chapter 15, he says, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures.
Paul, now when he was speaking of justification by faith, he spoke of Jesus in Romans chapter 4 verses 25 and chapter 5 verse 1, who was delivered for our offenses and raised again for our justification. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. The text that we have been reading obviously show what the Scriptures teach to be the gospel. That is, that it is the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. The problem that we run into is, though, that men must have something else for their justification other than the sacrifice of Jesus Christ.
In other words, the natural man cannot really believe that it's only the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Now, I want you to listen very carefully to what I'm going to say, because this can be easily misunderstood. The gospel does not save you. Faith does not save you. Repentance does not save you. Being a believer does not save you. Being obedient to the commands of God does not save you. All of your works cannot save you. Then what does save? The person of Jesus Christ. Jesus is the Savior. The shed blood of Christ is the good news. That is the gospel. It's good news to a man when he finds out that there's nothing he can do. He knows there's nothing he can do. And he finds that there's nothing for him to do, that it's already been done.
If we stopped here, we would fall far short of giving you the whole counsel of God. We are not saying that good works are not a real part of the Christian experience. Works are a necessary result of an experience with God. The works that are a real part of the Christian experience are described in 1 John chapter 3, verse 18, when he says, my little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. The works that are a part of the Christian experience are a love experience, so that we are then compelled and driven to obey God in deed and in truth.
Now, we're not trying to give you a one-line definition of the gospel that you could memorize and repeat to someone, because the Bible declares it to be a mystery. I'm convinced that the essence of gospel preaching contains the fact that man is a sinner, that Christ is the Savior, that Jesus is not a beggar, and that there is a judgment. If these things are not the heart of the message, I don't think you've heard the gospel.